In the early part of the 20th century, Mrs. Ellen Morris, that's Louis Morris's grandmother, lived in two Dillas cottages, the furthest one from the road. In those days, professional photographers would tour an area knocking on doors and offering their services for family portraits, etc. After taking the pictures, they would return to their studio, perhaps as far away as Aberystwyth or even Liverpool, where they would develop and print the results from large glass plate negatives and post the pictures to their customers. Such was the case one day when a hopeful photographer, Mr. Bevan, called on Mrs. Morris, declining the offer of a portrait of herself only. Mrs. Morris went on to bemoan the fact that she didn't have a picture of herself with her late husband, William, only single portraits. Spotting a possible opportunity for a sale, Mr. Bevan quickly said, "That's no problem. I can copy the two and join them together in the darkroom." In those days, with large glass negatives, hand retouching with a pencil and a scraping knife was commonplace. "Oh, all right then," said Mrs. Morris. But then, after pausing for a moment, said, "There is one problem, though. The best picture I've got of him is with his hat on. I never liked that hat." Mr. Bevan thought for a moment about all the extra retouching involved, but keen for a sale, replied, "No problem, Mrs. Morris. I can remove the hat, but there is just one thing I will need to know. When I remove this hat, which side did your husband part his hair?" Mrs. Morris gave him a very old-fashioned look for a few moments and said acidly, "Well, if you can remove his hat, you will see for yourself which side he parted his hair, won't you?" Nowadays, with modern digital cameras and computers, the work involved is relatively easier, but problem customers are the same today as always. Dillas cottages are known locally as a plump or the pump, because of the village pump adjacent to them. The high retaining wall behind was to hold back the slate waste tip accumulated from the cutting shed at Era Works across the road. Annie and Thomas Jones lived in Dillas cottages at the turn of the 20th century. They were the author Julia Gunn's great-great-grandparents. Their daughter Anne Mary married John Rowlands. He was one of Lewis Rowlands's children from Teesab. John worked in the Braich Goch Quarry Corris as an underground steward, a very responsible position commanding much respect from the men at the rock face. John and Anne brought up five children, Catherine Jane, Thomas, Flodwen, Lewis John and Lucy. Thomas Rowlands is the author's grandfather. In the late 1920s to early 1930s, Dillas Cottages was only two cottages, not three as it is today. In the first larger one near to the road at that time lived Ken Rowlands' grandfather John Rowlands and great-aunt Blodwen Rowlands and Uncle Lewis John Rowlands. When Ken was born in 1928, his grandfather planted an apple tree in the front garden to mark the event. The tree is still there today and still producing apples. Even when quite young, Ken was always a very mischievous little boy. I'm sure there must have been times when John Rowlands wished he had buried him under that apple tree, such as the day he came home from the quarry with his son Lewis John for their dinner. The custom at table then was for the wife, or in this case Blodwen, to carve the meat and put it on the plates on the table. The vegetables and gravy were in separate bowls on the table for everyone to help themselves. The two men entered the room, looked at the table, and Grandfather shouted, "Where's my meat?" A moment later, Lewis John shouted, "Where's my meat?" "It's on the table," came the reply. "No, it's not," shouted Grandfather. "Someone's taken it." "Someone's taken mine too," said Lewis John. "I think I know who too," said Grandfather. So Grandfather Bear and Uncle Bear went off in search of the culprit. They did not have to look far. Down by the river under the apple tree sat Ken, his cheeks bulging to bursting point as he struggled to chomp on two platefuls of meat in one go. Parc de Les is a small estate of four chalet-type houses built in the 1970s and tucked away behind de Les cottages, accessed by the old quarry tramway. This tramway was once a busy route bringing slate blocks from the Era quarry, also known as Colorado, on the hillside above the village, to the cutting shed at Era Works. It is still used as a popular public footpath today. Before we leave this point, it is worth noting that there was also another tramway planned and almost completed that would have run along the front of de Les cottages, over a bridge, along a viaduct into the field beyond and on to the much older Cwm Gloddfa quarry, also known as Cwm Odyn and later Cambria Wyn. The crumbling remains of the bridge and viaduct built in the 1870s are still there, although part of the wall on the shop side fell into the river only last year. However, before the last link of the tramway was completed, the company opened the Colorado quarry across the valley. Finding that site more viable and promising, they eventually abandoned the old quarry, stopped work on the tramway to it, and developed instead the new routes behind de Les cottages to the new quarry. The tramway was horse-powered and the stable for the horses, known locally as Stabel James. It was located almost exactly on the site where one Parc de Les now stands. The estate is now a quiet and peaceful place, with only the slate waste retaining wall along the river bank giving a hint of what this narrow and very level road was once used for. Mount Pleasant is one of the oldest houses in Esgygailiog. It was formerly the miller's house for Esgygailiog Grist Mill. In the 1860s, Master Miller Owen Owens lived there with his daughter Anne, son-in-law John Morris, a mason, daughter Margaret and granddaughter Mary. By the 1880s, however, the mill had been bought by the Cambria Wyn Slate Quarry and converted from a corn mill into a slate finishing mill. The house was still called Tir Felin, or Mill House, but was occupied by John Williams, a slate polisher, and his wife and four children. In 1921, Frank Johnston came to live there. He had once owned an engineering business in Birkenhead and also spent 21 years in the Royal Navy as an officer. On leaving the Navy, he and his family planned to emigrate to Canada, but were persuaded by a family friend to come to Wales instead. He obtained a job in the quarry and moved to live in Mount Pleasant with his wife Isabella, daughter Dorothy, and son Nelson. They also had another son called Frank, and he was in the Royal Air Force. Isabella was not too impressed at first. The house is situated immediately above the cutting and finishing shed, and the noises and dust rising from the slate saws and planers were both deafening and choking, and she at first thought she had come to hell on earth. In time, though, especially when the quarry closed, she came to really love the place. Not long after the Johnstons moved here, the quarry ran into difficulties and closed. Frank went to work for the Braich Goch quarry in Corris, where he stayed until he died in 1929. Nelson went on to join the Merchant Navy and worked his way up to ship's engineer and first officer rank. He travelled the world many times, but amazingly met some of the people from Esgygailiog in the furthest of places, like Tom Morgan, Mary Morgan's son, who had emigrated to Australia, and met Nelson when his oil ship docked there in 1960. When Nelson retired from the Merchant Navy, he returned to Mount Pleasant, his home since the age of 3 years. He rekindled his friendships with old pals, Lewis John Rowlands, Ken Rowlands and Dennis Lake, etc., and soon became once again part of the community he grew up. Now in his 80s, Nelson no longer travels much and is suffering failing health, but is still a regular sight in the village.